Hi, this is your play button. Thank you for pressing me. However, if you're under the age of 18, are not terribly broad-minded, or have a boss at work who likes you less than a tax audit, I would encourage you to press my cousin, the stop button. Otherwise, welcome to Eeper's Choice Podcast.
Dateline America. Any anime con you want. 2006. The world of anime fandom was shocked yesterday when a crazed fan attacked the owner of a North American anime label. The crazed fan, who was later tackled by security, dressed in a shrink-wrapped red and green costume and sporting a red wig and red hair clips, attacked the owner while he was talking about the perils of owning an anime company. The fan managed to blurt out, quote, "How many more times do I have to buy this stupid robot show before I have the ultimate edition," end quote, before being clotheslined to the ground. More information as we have it.
Suspicious auditory stimulus detected.
Hi guys, welcome back to Eeper's Choice Podcast. I'm Eeper, or Philip. A little bit about myself, because I've been doing this now 3 to 4 times. I know some of you know who I am, but for anyone who's just joined the podcast, I'm an anime fan who lives currently in Ireland, and I've been watching anime on and off for the last 15 or so years. Recently I got back into anime, and I've decided to do a podcast for people who are coming back into anime, or don't know anything about anime or manga, and see if I can help them along into the weird and wonderful world that is anime and manga. So guys, welcome back. This is show number 7. I've been watching the downloads so far, and the downloads seem to be going up. I had over 120 downloads just last week, so, you know, I'd love to... I haven't bought the Pro Package on Podomatic yet, so I can't tell if you guys are all downloading the new show 120 times, or you're downloading all of the shows 120 times, so I'll have to figure that one out. But anyways, thanks for everyone who downloaded last week, and welcome aboard everyone who's going to download, hopefully, this week's show as well. So, I'm going to get into the news. I did pre-record my review of Basilisk by Futaro Yumada, I think his name is. I can't remember off the top of my head. Last week. So that is why you'll probably listen to my voice now and realize that my nose is blocked because I'm coming down with a cold. So if you guys can't tell through the clips, just listen to the Basilisk review, and that was when I didn't have a cold, so I'll probably sound noticeably different. Anyways, I'm going to go into news. It's a very short news clip this week. There isn't that much news to speak of. And then I will go into the rest of the reviews. And I did finally come up with something to review, as I was kind of stumped last week, if you remember from the show notes. Okay, news next.
News.
And you're back, and we have the news. This week's news shows from the ANN, or the AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Vertical Publishing have released Osamu Tezuka's Buddha, and they have briefly been covered in this week's Time magazine. On page 12 of Time magazine, the notebook section takes a look at a number of movies, animations, and comics that have looked at religious figures such as Pope John Paul II, Moses, Allah, and Buddha. So, well done to Tezuka for making Time magazine. Tokyopop has said that they will release volume 1 of the Gravitation X manga on February 2007. Gravitation is already a pre-existing manga from 1996, and it's been adapted into a TV series and OAVs. So if Gravitation is your bag, the new series will be out February 2007, as I said. Broccoli Books have signed the new bookstore distribution deal with Publishers Group West, replacing Diamond Book Distributors. Comic book and game retailers can still order the company's manga and art books from Diamond Comic Distributors, as well as Ingram, Baker & Taylor, and AAA Anime. But more news, Production IG is to reanimate Ray Dean. Now, Production IG and Tohoku Shinsha Film Corporation have announced they will produce a new Raiden anime TV series based on the original Yusha Raiden TV series by Yoshiyuki Tomino of Gundam fame. The new series will be released in spring 2007 and be directed by Mitsuru Hongo. They have a link both to the press statement and the new Japanese website. Genion are looking for a bilingual, that's English and Japanese, assistant DVD producer. They've placed an ad for the position on monster.com, and as far as I can tell, the job category is in arts, entertainment, and media. Career level is entry. Relevant work experience needs to be 1 to 2 years. Education level, high school or equivalent. And the location is in Long Beach, California. So if anyone who can speak either Japanese and English who lives in Long Beach is listening to this, you may want to check it out. I'll leave a shortened either Shrinkster or OG link in the show notes for you guys to follow rather than go through the ANN. On the other news that I have is Singe Point has reported on its blog it is helping Bandai Visual with the translation of bonus material for the upcoming Gunbuster DVD set and website. Bandai Visual asked them to help with the Gunbuster Perfect Guidebook, which according to the blog, quote, talks about the different manga, anime, novels, and movies Gunbuster received influences and inspirations from, i.e. lots of Japanese pop culture and otaku cultural references. Okay, and the only other thing that I have for you guys, two pieces. Ergo Proxy's website has now been launched by Genion in the US. Ergo Proxy was a kind of derivative kind of Ghost in the Shell, that kind of sci-fi political tension thriller. It was animated by Manglobe, who were the people behind Samurai Champloo, and it was, as far as I know, fan subbed as far as episode 3-4 thereabouts, and Genion announced their license, so that'll be out in November. The site includes trailers, video clips, wallpapers, and user icons. And that's about it. I'll put some news articles that I haven't covered into the show notes, but other than that, that's cool. I think we'll can it at that. Up next is my manga review for Basilisk, and the anime review for this week, well, there isn't one. I guess you'll have to listen and find out.
Shadow Falls holds a secret some will kill to protect, and others will die to expose. For it is on this ground that the prelude to Armageddon has been battled over for more than 300 years. This time, it will be decided once and for all. Coming soon to headphones near you. For every light that shines, a shadow falls. To be amongst the chosen, pre-register at shadowfalls.podshow.com.
Reviews. For my first review, I will be doing the manga Basilisk by the late Futaro Yamada and art by Masaki Segawa. Okay, so what is Basilisk about? Basilisk is set in the 1600s in Japan, in feudal Japan. And at this time, two ninja clans, both support a son of Hidetada Tokugawa as the next shogun or emperor or whatever the hell they had back then. I know, I did Japanese history as a specialist subject for my final exams in high school, or secondary school, and I just forgotten it. Oh, sorry folks. But they want that son to be the next shogun. So the two warring clans are the Iga and the Kuga, or Koga, sorry. The prize, they will fight to the death for possession of a scroll. The prize being given to them by the Tokugawa government is this. The Tokugawa government will help annihilate the other clan, in other words, the losing clan, and have the complete support for the winning clan for the next 1,000 years. And it also helps that both the Iga and the Koga clan want to kill one another anyway. Unfortunately, two of the members of the Koga and Iga clan, specifically the next in line to command both clans, Koga Genosuke and his female counterpart, Iga Oboro, both have fallen in love with each other. And on the day they were supposed to announce their wedding plans, the emperor decided to tear up the peace treaty that had existed between the two clans for whatever amount of years or decades and make them go to war. So they were literally on the cusp of bringing both families together when the emperor tore them to pieces. So It's more complicated than a straightforward Romeo and Juliet with hemoglobin and katanas than you might think. The artwork by Segawa is lovely and crisp, very dirty, very grimy, you know. It's a lot of it is shot in the woodlands surrounding both clans. And basically what happens is, you know, it's just an excuse to show as much hemoglobin as possible. Both the Iga and the Koga clans don't want either Gennosuke or Oboro to know about this because they want to keep it a secret as long as possible. The idea being, the longer you keep it a secret, the more chance you are to have wiping out the other clan. And they managed to keep the secret from both Gennosuke and Oboro because Gennosuke is over with Oboro in Iga territory when the actual word gets back from the capital about this plan. And with the deaths of the two heads of the Koga and Iga clan, who mutually try to annihilate one another, Oboro and Gennosuke are automatically the de facto leaders of the clan, and no one is going to question their orders. But they conspire to keep the truth from Oboro long enough to kill Gennosuke. Unfortunately or fortunately, whichever way you want to look at it, the Koga clan also learn of the plan and rush to find Gennosuke before he can be killed. In the meantime, a lot of the Koga clan and a fairly sizable chunk of the Iga clan are wiped out in the process, trying to A, keep the secret from Gennosuke, and B, trying to get word to Gennosuke, whichever way you want to look at it. I've only read the first two volumes. They have been published in America by Del Rey and Tanoshimi, Del Rey's English, or Great Britain's stroke Irish publisher, has the publishing rights in, Britain and Ireland. I picked up volume 1 from my brother, who was into Japanese ninja stuff to begin with. Also, the two of us are lifelong fans of Ninja Scroll, and have been since we first saw it. I will review Ninja Scroll at some point, and I will let you know what my true feelings are for that show. I picked this up on the strength of, I had heard that it was going to be something like Ninja Scroll, but a lot more bloodier, and plus the fact that the love story between the two lead characters would be a bit more developed. And I was not disappointed. It's a good read. It's a nasty, bloody, gory piece over the first two volumes. I'm eagerly looking forward to the next couple of volumes. According to this, there have been, five volumes have been published in Japan. I don't know if it's still ongoing, because they're based off of the novels by Yamada, and he died, I think, in 2002 or 2003, I'm not certain. I will probably put a note up in the show notes. 2001, sorry. And, you know, he was unresolved with the storyline, as far as I know. I don't know if he was planning to publish more or not, but you know, he wanted to do the novels and complete them. So I don't know if he did or not, because it's very hard to find out about original language Japanese novels. But I want to see how this story pans out. I want to see if Oboro and Gennosuke can keep both clans from annihilating with each other long enough to call an end to the fighting. I don't have high hopes, but you know, you have to live and breathe and hope. Again, it's a good read. It's a complete departure from my last review for High School Girls. So, you know, on one hand I'm reading High School Girls, on the other hand I'm reading Basilisk. So, that just goes to prove just how much of a monkey up my brain pattern is. I will finish up the manga review, so, back after this.
So you want to hear people talk about Japanese cartoons?
You know, anime.
But you think the other anime podcasters just aren't nerdy enough?
Sounds like you need to join forces with the Anime World Order,
where each week three self-proclaimed experts offer you reviews
of titles both new and classic, news and commentary,
rants, convention reports, interviews with fandom,
and some hentai and yaoi for good measure.
So search for anime in the iTunes Music Store,
or visit our website at animeworldorder.com.
Anime World Order, revealing the truth about anime, one podcast at a time.
And for my game review... Yes, you heard me, game review. It's taking the place of the anime review this week, as I haven't had a chance to watch any anime this week. My game review for this week is the PlayStation 2 game Yakuza. As I said before, not only am I interested in anime and manga, but I'm also interested in Japanese culture in general. I do listen to a bit of J-pop, and I did promise a couple of shows ago that I would review a J-pop CD. I will get round to that at some point. But I've always been interested in Japanese culture, but another part that always fascinated me was the Yakuza culture of Japan, which is like the mafia in the United States. I always wanted to know. Yakuza the game is also known as Ryuga Gotoku, or literally translated like a dragon. It's set in the early part of... I'll just give you the plot so far, okay? Our story follows the adventures of Kiryu Kazuma, a former Yakuza, who's released from prison after a 10-year sentence sparks the setup of the game's plot. Okay, basically what happens is Kazuma is a lieutenant in a section of the family of Yakuza. He reports directly to his boss, who is known in some circles as a pretty unpleasant guy. But Kazuma does his job with efficiency and with honor and loyalty to his boss, even though his boss is a fairly unpleasant guy. Kazuma is on the brink of breaking away and forming his own family with the help of another family boss who has been watching over him since he was little. Add to this the mix, his childhood friends Yumi and Nishiki, who grew up with him in the same orphanage. Nishiki looks up to Kazuma and wants to be him, and Yumi is his best friend, but also Kazuma is a bit sweet on her. Now, what happens is Yumi is kidnapped by his boss, and Kazuma goes to rescue Yumi, but before he can get there, he arrives to find that Nishiki standing over the body of his former boss, because I say former because the guy is now dead, he's had about 95 trillion bullet holes put into him, and Yumi sitting in the room almost catatonic. Okay, Kazuma, like all Yakuza, does the honourable thing and tells Nishiki and Yumi to get out of there and he will take the rap for it. They do, he stays, and he gets sent to prison for the murder of the boss. He does so to maintain the integrity of the clans and also to protect Nishiki and Yumi. However, once sentenced, he finds out from his former boss, who's been looking after him, that Yumi, after being treated in the hospital, vanished. She's nowhere to be seen. And his friend Nishiki is beside himself, trying to find her. Unfortunately, after 10 years, when Kazuka gets out, he finds that the world has changed around him. Yumi is still missing. His friend Nishiki has now become a boss himself. A cold, withdrawn, calculating person, not at all like the person he was when Kazuma went into prison. He finds that someone who was trying to kill him in prison, namely the chairman of all of the bosses, has been just assassinated. This coincides with the theft of 10 billion yen from the family's accounts. Now Kazuma has a problem. Not only is he still suspected to be the killer of the former boss, but while going to the funeral of the chairman, his mentor, who has been looking after him even throughout prison, is also shot. Now he has two problems. He is accused of attacking and trying to kill both of them. Now he must find out where Yumi is, why Nishiki has tried to put a contract out on him since he got out of prison, and where the 10 billion has gone to. Add to this the mix that several families want him dead. Okay, that dribble aside, this is a pretty good game. I have been looking forward to this since it was announced, and I finally got to rent it last week. The voice cast for the English dub, as it was technically not possible to include the Japanese dub, includes Daryl Kurulio as Kazuma, who I can't find anything on him. Michael Rosenbaum, who plays Nishiki, and Michael is somebody who you might know as Lex Luthor from the series Smallville. Elijah Dushku as Yumi. Michael Madsen as Futo Shimano, who I consider to be one of the best psychopaths in the film. I call it a film because it really is shot much like a Fujiwara kind of Yakuza film. I'll put a link up to Kenji Fujiwara's films in the show notes, you'll understand. Rachel Lee Cook, Mark Hamill, Dwight Schultz. It's a pretty good cast. Aside from the cast itself, the one thing that lends itself in this game to just being cool is the sheer free roamingness of the world. Although you're stuck in certain levels to particular areas, you can go around basically every section. Now, I'm not saying you can go and interact with every part of the scenery, but it is nice to be able to wander around and be told, well, you can't go here and you can't go there, for no apparent reason. One thing that annoyed me at the beginning of the game is the amount of cutscenes in the game. Where most games you might find, like Grand Theft Auto or something like that, might get stuck into the game straight away after a pretty lengthy cutsequence, Yakuza has cutsequences almost throughout every level. At first this started to annoy me, because it got in the way of me enjoying the action of the game. However, much like Kazuma realizes in the game that his fists will take him so far, but really he should get down to the business of trying to investigate what's going on. And I feel the same way too, because the cutsequences actually start to break out the story and let you know what's happening. Now, the action is fluid, the controls are pretty simple. You pretty much get a tutorial in the first part of the game to show how to do various moves and whatever. You can pick up objects such as baseball bats, blocks, chairs, fire hydrants, basically anything that's mobile you can pick up, you can use against your opponent. You also have a devastating series of kicks, punches and uppercuts to dispatch your foes. You also have finishing moves where you can drag your opponent to a desk or a wall or some sort of masonry and basically pound them up against the wall, desk, so on and so forth. The cutsequences are good, the graphics are nice and neat. It's not terribly well polished, but then again, when you're dealing with the world of the Yakuza, it's not meant to be. I liked it. I haven't got to the end of it, but I hope I'm not cheated of anything, because I would hate for to play 18 plus hours worth of gameplay and find out that I'm being cheated. That's happened before. Okay, that's about it for the game review. I don't know if I'll make this a regular segment or not. I don't think there are many games around other than role-playing games where you can get into Japanese culture, but I'll look around and I'll see what I can find. If anyone has any suggestions, would you just email me? I'll leave the contact info again at the end of the show. Okay, that's it for the manga and the anime review, and up next I will do a whole batch of promos. Other than that, I will go straight into the Retro Corner review. Retro Choice. I should call it Retro Choice. That's what I originally called it. I keep calling Retro Corner. Okay, Retro Choice after this.
Hi, this is Aaron and Noah, and we're a couple living in New York City. We run the Ninja Consultant podcast. Sometimes we talk about ninjas, but mostly our show is about anime.
We don't do anime news because we don't know any.
I know what the news is, because I've heard it on every anime podcast this week.
We have over 800 years of combined otaku experience, and I guess sometimes we talk about it.
You can train to be an otaku, or just sound like one.
Choose from any of the following areas of expertise.
Conventions.
Fan culture.
AMVs.
Fan subs.
Fan parodies.
Fan art.
Manga.
Cosplay.
Ninja studies.
Refrigerator repair.
Or get your GED.
And much, much more.
Can you draw this pirate? Go to www.ninjaconsultant.com and discover the wonderful world of anime art.
That's www.ninjaconsultant.com. Or search for us in the iTunes... Wait, we're a couple?
Yeah, we're a couple.
I mean, I knew that.
Hi, you're, I'm watching. Oh, yeah, I'm listening. No, you're listening to, Otaku Generation, you know?
No, we don't know!
OtakuGeneration.net, getting in touch with your inner otaku every Wednesday.
So as you can see, Mike, this new version of game will be very beneficial to the mainframe.
Wait, game? I thought it was pronounced gain.
No, it's pronounced game.
Really? I'm pretty sure it's gain.
No, Mike, it's game. You're confusing it with something else.
Well, we can solve this just as easily. Let's see here. Show me the way to you. Lead me now where you are. Well, I don't know about you, but I use a soda.
You have to be right about everything, don't you?
R5 Central, podcasting at its finest. Maybe. R5Central.blogspot.com. You can also catch us on iTunes, MySpace, Bison Mall, and any of the five planets of the Pentagona system. See you later.
Retro choice. and in my retro choice review is Ryodin, or Legend of the Dragon Kings. Okay, let's get into it. Okay, what is Legend of the Dragon Kings about? Because I'm not bothering to pronounce every single bloody thing that this thing says. I'm sick and tired of screwing up Japanese words. Okay, what is it? Alright, I'm going to read straight from the Wikipedia entry, okay? The story features four divine kings, each with their own kingdoms, one to the north, to the east, to the south, to the west, da-da. The brothers are reborn in the modern world, complete with supernatural powers and the ability to become the dragons they ascended from. They are content to live ordinary lives until evil creatures attack them. It becomes the mission of the four brothers to defeat the four sisters. These are four girls from America and the descendants of the Bolt, before they use their control over technology and the economy to take over the world. However, as this battle begins, the four brothers must find their place in the world as they flee from the destructive will of the Bolt. Okay, this was originally written by Yoshiaki Tanaka, who is also famous for doing the sci-fi space opera series Legend of the Galactic Heroes, which has been adapted into an anime and a manga, and also the fantasy novel series Arslan Senki, or The Heroic Legend of Arslan. So all of his stuff has been animated so far. Now, the book itself that the anime is based on was also illustrated by Yoshitaka Amano, who you may or may not know as the illustrator for Vampire Hunter D and for his character designs on the video game series Final Fantasy. So if you've seen kind of like Western style artwork from Final Fantasy, from say, I don't know, Final Fantasies, I think 9 and 10, I'm not sure about 10, but you can pretty much guess that it's Amano. He has a very distinctive style. Okay, getting back to Legend of the Dragon Kings. This was also done as a manga, about 13 volumes of whom were done by Clamp. Okay, the actual manga version, it's set as a kind of a comedy. It follows one of the Dragon Kings who goes to Osaka to wake up snakes. There's only 3 stories, and the story, again, a lot like with Clamp, has never been concluded. I will review another anime manga belonging to Clamp called Legal Drug, which follows has the same kind of similar fate. I'll let you guys in on that in a couple of weeks' time. Okay, the brothers themselves are Hajime, Suzuku, Owaru, and Amaro, or Amaru, if you're an American. And the three boys basically have to fight against the bulls, for want of a description. I remember seeing this. God, it must be 10 or 11 years now. And I remember liking it a lot. But the thing is, I've had a long, hard time to think about this review. And I have to say, of it, the only thing I will say of the OAV is that it felt longer than it actually was. I always thought that it had something like 20 parts or something like that, because it seemed to go on forever and ever. But possibly I'm imagining this as it was probably repeated. But what I can tell you is that there are 12 volumes of it. And like I said, I always felt that it was longer. And because it was so long, I thought it was cool. But as I look kind of back on it now, it was okay. It wasn't great. It was completely serviceable. The animation was done by a crowd called Kitty Films, who also are responsible for such things as, surprise, surprise, Legend of the Galactic Heroes. Okay, it's the same one done by Tanaka in his novel series. Ranma Half, Maze on Ikkoku, The Sakura Diaries, and They Were 11. As far as I know, They Were 11 was reviewed by Anime World Order a couple of shows back. I will link to their review of They Were 11. What else can I tell you about it? Well, not much else, because, as I said, it's been about 10 or 12 years since I've seen it. And I did actually get to see a couple of episodes of it from a DVD that somebody loaned me a couple of weeks ago. And the series hasn't fared up very well. The dub was never great to begin with. Back then, you can only put it down to the fact that I was enamored with Japanese animation, that I was prepared to let the dub go. But I'm not now. The dub is standard, no more, no less. I wouldn't call it anything great to call home to. Okay, the only other thing I will tell you is that Hajime Ryodu, one of the brothers, is played by none other than Dan Green. And many fans will know Dan Green as the voice of Yugi Moto, amongst other things. So Dan is okay. He's never I won't say he's never done bad stuff, because he has done bad stuff, but yeah, he's in a good enough voice. I actually, a lot of these reviews that I do for the Retro Choice Corner, I find that, oh wait, hang on, I know that voice, I've heard it before, what have I heard it from? And I've heard it from an anime that I watched last year or whatever, and it's the same voice actors over and over again in the English dubs. As I said, because I've only recently got back into it, the Seiyu, or the Japanese voice actors, they don't ring true for me, because I haven't had a chance yet to start to pick up my ear to recognise what each individual voice actor sounds like from Japan. So give it time and I'll probably be better at it. So how would I rate Legend of the Dragon Kings? It's an okay story. Now, amongst other things, it was a DVD collection from Central Park Media, and as far as I know, they have discontinued some of their titles, so you may not be able to find this except in its collection form. If you can find it individually, okay, but I wouldn't pay anything more than $3 or $4 for it. I don't know if it's available in the UK. I haven't actually ever seen it, because it is over 15 years old now, and chances of it being picked up are very, very slim. Okay, folks, that's about it for this week's show. Again, I want to say thank you for tuning in. I now have the awesome prospect of having to edit all of this stuff together and get it out for what's today. Today is Tuesday, the 31st of October, and it is 2:30 p.m. in the day, and I will have to get this edited and done by 2:30 tomorrow, as I've got somewhere to go tomorrow. Yeah, happy days. Okay, what's up next week? Next week I will have a review of the first, possibly, I don't know, it's going to take me a couple of hours, the first four volumes of the classic TV series Kimagori Orange Road, as it was recommended to me by Gerald in the Anime World Order, and also by Aaron in the Ninja Consultant podcast, that I should check it out, because it sounded like okay. I, like the insane idiot that I am, bought all the volumes of the TV series and have the movie version on order, and I've never seen a lick of the series. So this is probably going to be my foolish purchase for the year. But that's okay. Like, we have to have every year at least one foolish purchase, and I can't think of a better series or animation to go down in flames with. Other than that, I've got a review. I think next week I'll review the anime series DN Angel, as it was one of the first series that got me back into anime, and it's time to take a nice surgeon's critical eye and scalpel to it. Okay, and the manga next week will be the first volume of CMX's Densha Otoko, or The Adventures of Train Man, and I will talk to you guys next week. Contact information will be coming up. Okay, bye guys, talk to you next week. If you need to contact me, you can contact me at the email addresses. That's Eeper's Choice. That's EEEPERSCHOICE at podomatic.com and at gmail.com. You can also find me at the website. That's EeperSChoice.podomatic.com. You can also find me on my blog. That's same thing, Eeper's Choice. blogspot.com. You can catch me on Google Mail from ebrischoice@gmail.com, and you can send me a voice MP3 for feedback. Just to guys let you guys know, and the K7 number has been deleted, as no one has left me any messages whatsoever, and so they deleted the account. So I'm not bothering to do it again. This is like the fourth number I've gotten, and I'm not bothering with it again. Okay, that's about it, guys. Bye.
It's time to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of gum.